Hillary wants to abolish, essentially abolish, the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick, her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
I know. Everybody's like, what the hell does he mean by that? Another distraction on the Trump trail today. Donald Trump stepping, I don't know, did he intend to say it? His campaign says he was talking about unification so that we don't vote. But that's not actually the context. Was if she gets elected, there's nothing you can do, folks. And unless the Second Amendment folks, they can do something after she's elected is what he's saying. That's the context of what he's saying. So what is he really trying to say there? Who knows? It's in his mind, but that's the problem, is it not? General Michael Hayden is joining us right now, and the general's been on the program before, and thank you very much for your time today. Very, very busy man, former director of the CIA and the NSA, and a four-star general in the United States Air Force. Now, General, you are one of the signatories to this letter that was written with dozens of national security folks who are Republicans, Michael Chertoff among them, other big name Republicans, saying they could not, they cannot support Donald Trump.
Yeah, more accurate, 50 folks who have served in Republican administrations. Yes,
yes, who are saying that he is not the right choice. First of all, before we get too far away from this, you've heard this. I'm sure you've heard the controversy about the Second Amendment thing today. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, Roe, it kind of reinforces the message we tried to express in the letter that Mr. Trump, I think the poor man is so far out of his element with these things, he doesn't even know what he's stepping on landmines. And he certainly stepped on one today with that Second Amendment comment. Either it was a very ill-advised attempt at humor, or simply he is simply not aware of the tragic history this country has with regard to political assassinations and how that's a third rail for anyone who pretends he wants to be in higher office. Look, Ro, let me tell you what I told some folks at CIA when I was director. You know, you get senior enough, you're no longer responsible for just what you say. If you aspire to be a senior, you're responsible for what people hear. And I just don't think Mr. Trump understands that at all.
And you guys say in the letter that he would be the most reckless president in the history, that he appears to lack even basic knowledge about the Constitution. You go on and on and talk about his religious intolerance and things like that. I think one of the things that has made such headlines is his relationship with Putin, or lack thereof, whatever you believe. What do you believe is the relationship there? Because I think that was the one thing cited as how many in the intelligence community jumped on board and said, when Trump said at that press conference, hey, he's almost inviting people to hack into Hillary Clinton emails, that was the final straw.
You know, and I know Michael Morell, a good friend, has talked about Mr. Trump being an unwitting agent of Vladimir Putin, career KGB officer, and so on. I don't nearly go that far. When I look at the pattern of things he said about Putin, and frankly, other dictators around the world, I think he's got a sense of autocrat envy. He actually seems to admire these kinds of folks because they don't let other things like institutions and democracies get in their way. And so he actually, I mean, he said literally on several occasions that he's a strong leader, a strong leader. And so that just makes those of us who signed the letter think, well, what does that mean for being a president in a constitutional system that is designed to limit and separate powers? And we worry about that.
A little over a month ago, you were on the CBS Morning program. And you were discussing this. You're discussing your position on Donald Trump and how you weren't there yet, and you didn't think that you were going to be able to support him. And you alluded to hearing from other national security experts around the country, and that after the conventions, that we'd be hearing more about this. Is that what you meant when you were talking to Charlie Rose? And how long has this been in the pipeline?
Well, first of all, it should have come as no surprise that any of the 50 of us who signed the letter have been uncomfortable with Mr. Trump and some of the things that, he's been saying. I mean, most of us are on public record about that.
Yeah.
I think most of us also were hoping that, you know, as we move forward in the political process, the worst would be behind us, that the discussions would be more fact-based, more realistic, less emotional, less condemning of the opposition as stupid, corrupt, or weak. You know, that there would be the famous pivot in the campaign and we'd get down to business. Frankly, as you probably detected from my conversation with Charlie Rose, I didn't have much confidence in that, but I was willing to give it some time. And I think we all concluded after the last 2 weeks is this is not going to change. But what you see is what you're going to get. And so we felt duty-bound to go ahead and act now. I have to tell you, Roe, originally, when we were kind of saying, let's wait till after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how this develops. I mean, people at the beach, you got the Olympics and so on. And let's give the man a chance. But the last 2 weeks have been just so dramatically bad that we felt we just had to go ahead and do this.
Were you even concerned that he had that intelligence briefing, that some of that might come out? Is any of that potentially damaging? Does that bother you or not so much?
No, it really doesn't. First of all, Anna, between now and the election, the intelligence briefings you're going to get are, frankly, intelligence light. They're not going to go into the really dark secrets. They're going to be general orientations.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I think even Mr. Trump as a candidate understands that if you blurt something out that the intelligence community views to be secret, that's going to have some severe consequences in the American electoral process. What worries me more, Anna, is that the morning after the election in November, one of these two candidates are going to get the briefing. They're going to get the president's daily brief. That's the power of democracy. Get 270 electoral votes, you get the secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we just need to be very careful as to whom we give that power.
Right. And that's after the Electoral College, right? Not after the election. Isn't that how that goes?
No, actually, what's going to happen, Ro, is there's wherever these guys decide to spend Election Day,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a team in each of those cities. And one of those teams the next morning on Wednesday is going to give Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton the president's daily brief. And at that point, you know, it actually is a remarkable comment on our peaceful transition to power and the power of our electoral process. As I said, carry Ohio, carry Pennsylvania, carry Virginia, get the secrets.
And that's a verbal briefing, right? Isn't that how they do that?
What they'll do is they'll go in there with a book, but as the president-elect pages through the book, a briefer will walk him or her through the data in the book. And frankly,
yeah.
I said it'll be like the PDB. Actually, it'll be thicker than the PDB because the one President Obama is getting is going to be, after 7.5 years of getting this stuff, obviously this one is going to have a little bit more background material.
Right. Give some perspective on what's occurred. And I want to ask you a little bit more about what the briefings that they're getting now, as much as you can say about this. I know that there's
sure.
limits on this, but is there anything in your mind that Donald Trump can glean from this? I mean, I think that Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine already is very familiar with a lot of this because he's on the Foreign Relations Committee and
right.
and he has access to top secret information. But what when Donald Trump sees this, and we talked about this idea that he would blurt something out, and what you're alluding to there in the electoral process is that if he does do that, then there is a question about whether he can then be charged with a criminal act, essentially, by sharing that information. But wouldn't he? I mean, based on the way he has behaved so far, mm-hmm. I wouldn't imagine that he would be worried about that, thinking, well, they can't charge me because think of how my people would react to that since they didn't charge her with the emails and blah, 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 blah. Is that a concern?
Well, I think the way it works out is that the penalty would be political rather than legal, all right? And frankly, it's not just Mr. Trump. Most candidates don't want to do many deep dives while they're a candidate.
Yeah.
They don't want to be sitting up there in that debate stage, cooking up an answer in their head, and then trying to decide whether they learned that from the New York Times, their staff,
right.
or the PDB.
Or the shows, right, yeah, the shows. Well, I guess, you know, the other thing, too, is there anything and this is a theoretical question, rhetorical and theoretical. Is there anything in those briefings that would change his mind about any of the potentates and autocrats that we are referring to in this interview?
That is a great question.
and
frankly, the permanent government guys, the ones given the briefing, view this as their opportunity, Roe, to do exactly that. And the question I have, look, I did this with the incoming Obama team, including the president and vice president-elect. And they listened to me respectfully. I mean, they went their own way, okay? But they allowed me to make my arguments, and frankly, I think they made some adjustments based upon some of the things we've told them. Mr. Trump generally views people who disagree with him as corrupt, ill-informed, weak, or some other bad attribute. So the real question I have is, what is it he will get briefed on that will actually be able to change his mind? You know, he got a briefing not too long ago, separately, from Jim Baker and Henry Kissinger, two of the greatest living secretaries of state that the Republicans have. He said he got a lot of knowledge, and then he was asked, did it change your mind on anything? And he said, no.
General Hayden, you did see, of course, Trump's response was that the names in the letter are the ones that the American people should look to for answers on why the world's a mess. He said that it's they're nothing more than the Washington elite. He calls, you know, of course, you guys wouldn't agree with him. He's anti-establishment. You're establishment.
You didn't get the job.
He's not coming to you for advice. He's coming to somebody else. Well, I mean, you know, yeah. I know. I have to ask you.
Have you spoken to?
No, that's a great question. I'm sorry.
Have you spoken to them? Have they asked you?
Not at all.
All right. Have you asked them for a job?
No.
All right.
Let me just say, Mr. Trump has nothing to fear from job seekers in that list of 50 people. Okay? that's not going to be a problem.
Is that their resumes are not going to cross his desk? Is that what you're saying at Trump Tower?
Yeah.
No. Won't be submitting them.
But look, there are elements of legitimacy in the criticism. People like me who sign letters like that have to stand on our records. All right. But I think what we would point out, by the way, when he came back at us, he blamed us not only for the war in Iraq, but he blamed us for ISIS and Benghazi. Mm-hmm. And the latter two happened well after all of us have left government back to not being fact-based. And I guess what I would try to emphasize, Ro and Anna, is that we freely admit we may have gotten some things wrong. But it's not because we're stupid or weak or corrupt. It's because these problems are really hard. And I really would like him to express some appreciation for that reality.
Well, good luck to you on that, General. All right. By the way, General Michael Hayden, who used to run the CIA and the NSA, has also written a book called Playing to the Edge, American Intelligence in the Age of Terror, which is a must read for people who want to see exactly how complicated this is and how every supercomputer algorithm that tries to address these issues misses the point because we cannot predict really the rawest of human emotions, and that's really at play here throughout the world. And I just pray it's not at play here in the United States of America in 6 months. General, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good talk with you again.
All right. Good to have you, General. Thank you.
We'll have him back when Trump apologizes and says they've done a nice job, some nice contributions.
And I'd like to have him back. I don't know why you'd say something
like that.
Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.